Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on contractor and consultant relationships with permanent staff. Here we go. This guidance answers the questions, how to become part of the team as a contractor? How do I deal with peers who are on the team as a contractor? And what do I say when asked to take on extra work as a contractor? Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager. Okay, Wendy, so more and more organizations going to more and more contractor and consultant-based work. It avoids them having to hire people full-time, which can be expensive. On the other hand, there's tension between permanent staff and contractors or consultants. Could be how much you're paid, which is confusing to people, of course. What's our guidance, generally speaking, about how contractors and consultants can work well internally?
The first point we have is follow the spirit of the contract. Then we have the customer is always right and become part of the team.
Yeah, I think the customer is always right is a good one, only because I think we're going to give guidance about how to become part of the team. And yet you're part of a team where everybody on the team is a customer. Typically, you're on a team of peers serving a customer, but this is a case where you're trying to join the team, but they're actually your customer as well.
Yeah, it's confusing. There's a lot of goals there that maybe don't all perfectly align.
Good. So follow the spirit of the contract. I suspect there's some people that would rather hear follow the letter of the contract. And that's exactly our point, right?
Exactly. So there's people, I don't know if you have this word in America, but there's jobs worths.
We do not have that word.
So when they're asked to do something extra, they say, oh, that's more than my job's worth. And so they really stick to exactly their hours, exactly this is when I have lunch, this is how many minutes I have, these are the things you can say to me, these are the things you can ask of me, and anything extra I am not doing.
Right. And that's true for full-time staff and for contractors, right?
Yeah, there's people like that all over the place. When you go back to a store and you want to take something back, they're like, no, your 12 hours are over the time that you could have done it. You don't have a receipt. Nope. And if you want to be the kind of person that returns to customers, then you can't be that kind of person that you can't refuse to help people with a problem because it's outside the scope of your contract. You can't refuse to go to a meeting because it's, you know, over your allotted 8 hours a day. You can't withhold information because it's information you're being paid for, right? The information in your head.
You can, but you can't and then expect to be part of the team or expect to be asked to return and so on. I think the question that really is probably in a lot of folks' head is, yeah, okay, I want to be part of the team. These are people I see every day. Great, I get that, blah, blah, blah. But my boss back at my company, the contracting company, says, no, we don't want to overdo it. We don't want to give them work. They're not, because you may be stealing the job of another contractor. We could bill to them. If you give them 10 hours, then you're stealing, you know, 2 hours that we could have billed them for somebody else to be in there. So how do we help people with that tension?
We'll get to that in a second. The idea is that if you're going to be part of the team, if you want to help the team achieve their goals, which is the thing that you want to do, because if they achieve their goals, you'll be asked back to help them achieve again. And the other thing about being a job's worth is you'll be resented. If you're the kind of person who says, no, I'm not going to that meeting because I've done 8 hours today, irrespective of whether or not you're going to do six tomorrow, you know, there's got to be some flexibility because otherwise you will build up the resentment.
So to the person who says, well, I really don't care about the resentment, we would say, okay, we respect that you don't care, but if you complain later about the fact that you're not being asked to return or you end up not being billable, then what we're going to say is it's your own fault.
Yeah, exactly. It's in your interest to become part of that team and have some flexibility.
What if the person said to us, well, but I did every single thing in my job, and I'm actually the best developer on the team. I'm better than everybody they have.
Yeah, it doesn't help. I don't know if I've told this story before, but when I was working on contracts for IBM, we had some contractors who had, there were three of them, and they had super, like, hen's teeth rare skills. And we knew that they were had us over a barrel. And they'd just been renewed, and they sent an email that was intended to be just between the three of them, but it got to one of us.
Yeah, right.
And it said fairly rude things about their relationship with us, and they were terminated. At that point, the skills didn't matter. It was like, we can't have these people in our contract, on our contract, with our customers, on our site. So they went.
Yeah. So the point is when the guy says, you know, I'm the best technician, whatever, and probably would say in some skills, you know, I don't need this job, I can find another job. You could say, yeah, you're right, and you're going to have to. And the fact is, you being part of the team, you being respectful, you working hard to communicate well, you subordinating yourself at times when perhaps you're the smartest person in the room, are the kinds of things that make a difference. They are considered. And it doesn't matter if you're the smartest guy in the room, if you can't get your skills used as well as somebody who's slightly less smart than you, but works like crazy to be an integral part of teams and to treat the customer well and so on.
Exactly.
Yeah, good. Okay.
So to your point, we're not saying that you should continually work outside of your contract, take work on that's not covered by the contract. We're saying that mucking in and being a good team player will give you more positive outcomes than not doing so.
Yeah, let's put it this way. There's a big difference between taking on something every once in a while and working 80-hour weeks. And there's also a difference between saying, you know, I'm not sure I want to do that. They would use me up, you know, fine. But just don't go around saying, I don't have to do that because that's not in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a quick way to become not part of the team, to not be respected. That's the other extreme, and you won't get very far doing that. Your company may say, you can always say that, but we don't recommend it.
Yeah, it's just not helpful. And so if you are the expert, if you're asked a question that's within your realm of expertise, answer the question. That's why you're there. But if you're approached about additional work, then say yes, but choose your words carefully. And Paul, who's one of our IT people, gave me all of these answers, and he's a super diplomatic person.
Yes, he is. He is.
And so they're all really diplomatic, much more diplomatic.
So say yes, right?
Yes, I can help with that. Or yes, I can see where we might want to do that. Or yes, I can definitely see where you might want me to jump in on that one. And then the thing that you want to say next, and the thing you want the most to hear is, okay, good. Now, before I get started, I need to go and talk to Bill about getting some guidance about how I fit this in.
To be clear, Bill is your boss at the contracting firm, right?
Yeah, you need to talk to both the boss at the contracting firm and the person who's paying the bill at the company.
Yeah.
Because those two people have the control.
You don't start by saying that's not in the contract. You don't say, I don't think I can unless I get approval. You say, sure, I get where that's important, and I have to get some help figuring out how we're going to get it done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, it's a yes and statement rather than a no but, or worse, I'd love to help, but I can't.
Yeah, which is a useless statement.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last thing he said to me was, make sure that you go back to that person who asked you and let them know what happened.
After you've talked to the two people, right?
Exactly. So you don't want to take on actual work before you've talked to the person who's signing your timesheets, and if you have a consulting boss, to both of them, and it's been added to the scope of the contract.
Okay.
So I have an example. So say you're consulting to a call center team on improving their metrics, and the team manager asks you about shift management and the best way to ensure that the call center is adequately staffed, which is outside of your contract. So you can have a conversation about the general principles and resources so that he's better informed, like a 20-minute conversation. But what you don't want to do is work out a new shift pattern and start allocating people with them. If the person who signed the contract wants to do that and your contracting boss is okay with that, then add it to the scope of contract and then start work.
Yeah. So in other words, if Wendy's my boss, folks, and she comes to me, my boss on site, and so she comes to me and says, hey, can you help with this shift work problem we're having? Well, sure, I'll be happy to sit down and give you, tell you what I know in a high level. And then when Wendy says, can you actually do that? So that I'd love to. And let's make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's. I may need to talk to my boss about that. And you're much more likely to be seen as a team member and much more likely to be valued if you are willing actually to share some of your information. You don't say, well, if I share something, they'll do it and they'll essentially use what I know and I won't be able to. No, just the opposite. The willingness to share a little bit will actually increase the chance that you get the work, and it'll make you be, in their minds, much more like a part of the team. You're not losing anything by saying, sure, let me tell you what I know about that. And you're not outside the contract as long as you don't agree to do the work. While at the same time, you're avoiding the danger of saying to the client, yeah, I know stuff, but I'm not even really supposed to talk to you about that, which is ludicrous. Of course you could. You could talk to them.
Yes.
And we recommend you do. Okay, good. So then customer's always right. I love that. That's rule number one. And rule number two says, if in doubt, go back to rule number one.
Nice. And the contractors or consultants are in the ultimate customer service position because the customer is right there in the team working with you. There's no one between you. There's nothing that separates you. There's no other department in between. There's just you and the people you're working with. And you will hear everything that they say about you, good and bad. Like, you're just going to hear it. And some of it's going to be fair and some of it won't be. And it's really easy to take offense and resent people who have unfair views, especially when they're your customers and you're working hard for them. Most times, the peers that you're working with, they don't really understand why you're there. They don't understand why the company chooses a contractor over a permanent member of staff. And maybe someone got laid off and you've come in, to do half of their job or whatever. And they really like the guy who got laid off. And so they have bad feelings, not about you per se, but someone being in that role. And they just know that you're being paid a lot and doing less work. That's often the view that people have. And if they have that, it's really not about you. You don't want to try and fix them or explain or, really try and help them understand the situation. Just don't engage.
Yeah, because it'll come across as defensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, I if they make a snide remark and you overhear it, just ignore it and say, hey, you know what? That's part of the territory. That's okay. Now, we're not suggesting that it's okay what they're doing, but you don't want to be so willing to take offense that you become a pincushion. And their stuff doesn't need to become your stuff. Do what you want other people to do. When you say something untoward, something impolite, you want them to forgive you and move on. So, as Jimmy Buffett says, breathe in, breathe out, move on.
Yes. And on some contracts, you'll be included in every meeting, and in some, you're not invited to any. And then sometimes you'll be asked your opinion on everything, and sometimes you'll be asked nothing and just put in the corner with the computer.
I was at a client once as a consultant, and they wanted help with the CEO's monthly message. So I sat down with the CEO, and he had a couple of difficult messages that were discordant. A couple were good, a couple were bad, and he wanted some help putting it together, and he knew I'd done speeches before and communication consulting and so on. So I helped him put it together, and he said, I'd love to hear how you think this goes in terms of my delivery. I said, great. And it was the monthly meeting of the CEO with all hands, which is to say several thousand people in a big auditorium. And I was refused admittance because I was a consultant. Now, later, the CEO was angry because I didn't get to see it. And then actually, when I tried to log into the computer to get access to watch the video for people who couldn't attend, I couldn't get access. And I finally ended up watching on the CEO's computer, because of course he had access to his speech. And the VP of HR, who wouldn't allow me to go, said, no, that's just, we're just following policy. And I remember the CEO looking at her like, dude, are you serious? That guy helped me write the presentation. Why wouldn't he be able to see it? There's nothing in the information. Well, and then the VP of HR said to her boss at the time, the CEO, in front of me, yes, but I was afraid of what message it would send about how our policy is that we don't have, you know, non-employees in your CEO meeting. It was just amazing. So it was a classic sort of vignette of consultant who has something to offer. And by the way, they weren't paying me for that. He just asked. And generally speaking, you know, if the mayor or the sheriff or the CEO asked you to do something, you say yes. At least that's what I was told early in my career.
So those things happen all the time, right?
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with you. It's clearly the VP of HR defending her turf and willing to defend it against her boss, which is a fight you don't want to be in.
Yeah, it's good to be there when people who disagree with you are made to look dumb. And you don't look too hard, just look away, but they know you're there.
Yeah.
Okay, and our last guidance is become part of the team as much as you can.
Exactly. And the one way to make relationships less strained is to put in some effort to build those relationships. We know that communication is built on talking to people about the things that matters to them. Like, that's why we have one-on-ones. And so, you know, you need to talk to them about the things that matter to them. You know, if they mention that their children are doing something, or they're doing something at the weekend, or they've been on vacation, all those things are things that you can pick up on and have a little conversation about. And they'll think that you care about them. But if you're asking, you actually do care about them. You're doing the action. So therefore, you do have the feeling. And the better the relationships, the better the contract is for you. Because it's really, really hard to work in an environment where you know that everybody resents you, or everybody has this bad feeling about you.
Agreed.
And so every chance you get, like, stand up and walk over and talk to your colleagues face to face.
Don't think that you should come in first thing in the morning and just send out a bunch of emails and thinking that's good enough. Communication is what the listener does. When you send email, you don't see what they do or how they respond. You have to work harder than everybody else to craft relationships. Because even if they're your peers, they think they can actually say, I outrank you.
Yeah.
Which is dumb, but it's true. That's what happens. There's a lot of dumbness in the world. So you have to be the one that makes more of an effort. If you ever find a peer who's an employee who works hard on their relationship with you, which, by the way, is part of our guidance as well, boy, it makes things so much easier. Okay, good. What else?
So if you have the opportunity to go be face-to-face, then do that and use whatever excuses you have just to find out what's going on. Like, what's going on? What have you got going on? What's happening? Just so that you can get a sense of what is happening and what they're concerned about. And then you can ask about that. So you're asking about things that matter to them. And the more that you focus on their stuff and the more relaxed you are, the more the tension will go down in any one relationship.
Good.
And then if you're not co-located, then call. And you can follow up with an email, but try and talk to people, because you need that high fidelity conversation going on. Email is just so difficult.
Yeah. And many folks we know think of email as, well, it's, you know, I can communicate with more people. Yeah. And now what you're talking about is efficiency and not effectiveness. And communication is all about effectiveness, and email just makes you more efficient and therefore often less effective.
Yeah. And for you, that you're working a narrow tightrope between the terms of your contract and the universal truth that better relationships and a team ethos get better results. And it's a narrow line that you have to work. But the better your relationships, the easier it will be to say, I'd love to help. I can see why you want to do that. And I need to go talk to Bill to find out how we're going to make that work.
I agree. It'd be great. Let me just check. I want to make sure that we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's appropriately. Yeah. The better the relationship, the easier that medicine will go down. The worse the relationship, the more likely you'll start saying things like, well, I can't do that, or no, you can't ask me to do that, or you need to go ask my boss. And now suddenly you're not hired back. And your boss goes, what happened? And you say, I don't know. Well, after listening to this, you'll know.
Exactly. And you know you've done it right when on your last day, people come over
from
all over to say goodbye, and you get follow-on contracts and referrals, and you stay in touch with that team. Then you really have become part of that team while you've been there.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Come back next week. More career tools, more good stuff. See you then.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.